Hello and welcome to Bounty Hunt, a weekly breakdown of the latest episodes of Star Wars television, brought to you by the Utini Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jacob, joined by my good friends, JG and Oz. This week, we're diving into The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 8, Bad Territory, to give you our in-depth reactions and analysis. But with that out of the way, let's jump into it. First things first, though, this episode is brought to you by the Utini Dispatch. If you want a weekly email newsletter telling you all things about nerd culture, sports, whatever else is going on this week was about, I believe, Star Wars Unlimited, the new trading card game, as well as Formula One. Check out utini.com/dispatch to get that into your email calendar invite thing. Anyways, welcome to the show. I messed up that ad read. JG, Oz, how are y'all doing?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been a crazy 24 hours.
Outlook is, I'm blaming our... if you didn't check it out, we just released a hour 15 bonus episode on the Acolyte trailer that just dropped. So we'll talk about that we'll definitely cover that show when it comes out. But if you want to hear our thoughts right now that are already outdated, go check it out.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 15 minutes long because it was, a 90-second trailer.
We had
an hour for an episode. So, we're all very excited for the Acolyte. But this morning, it was time to come back down to Earth, or Pabu, as it were, and watch The Bad Batch. So, I'm always happy on a new episode day. Let's get rocking.
Yeah. This is a fun episode. This is, again, called Bad Territory. We are having a little adventure with Fennec Shand, who we knew was coming up at some point this season, but here she is. And our little escapade this week is we're looking after who is taking on, why is the Empire doing these imp count bounties? And we're going after Fennec Shand for some information. So, this is the first time we've seen her in a while. I guess the last time, was she in season 3 of Mando? I don't even remember anymore. I don't think so.
Oh, really? I just assumed it's...
Awesome. Well, I've been since Book of Boba Fett was Mando, the last time we've seen her.
That all runs together. Yeah, I guess because she's on Tatooine now.
Yeah.
30 years from now after the Bad Batch. So I guess... Boba Fett was the last time we saw her. That would have been after her last Bad Batch appearance.
Yeah.
Good to have her back.
Was that after season 1?
It's all blur. Boba Fett was Mando 2.5, so that was like 2021, maybe? And season 1 was 2020, I think. I don't know. It's all blur.
I mean, I know it's a cliche to say at this point, but the last 4 years, time isn't real. Regardless, I'm always happy to see her, both the character and the actress. She's a cool character, and what I liked about her here that I don't know if I really appreciated as much when we've seen her in the past, because I just wasn't thinking about it that way. In the Mando shows, she's pretty much an ally, whereas here, they straight up don't like her. They don't trust her. She's a full-on bounty hunter, almost a bad guy, which I know bounty hunters fall into a gray area, but I hadn't really thought of her that way much in her past appearances. So that was fun to see here.
Well, it makes sense with everything that's happened to Omega in this season and comparing the fact that she was trying to take Omega away. So there would be, a lot of resistance, no pun intended, to her aid right now.
Yeah, which is kind of funny though, considering how quickly Wrecker was able to forgive Crosshair, who tried to murder them, and then now they're a year ago you tried to kidnap my daughter, but then you didn't, and so you'd think they'd be good, but they really don't trust her.
She also didn't get to be their brother for a long time leading
up
to
that,
so
they don't share DNA.
But they're going after, I thought this was really interesting, they're going after a bounty to try and go in exchange for this information that they needed, and the guy that they're going after did some work with the Haxian Brood. So if you are a big fan of the Jedi Fallen Order Survivor games, that probably sound familiar. It's the bounty hunter kind of syndicate that goes after Cal, mainly in the first game and also the Battle Scars book.
Yeah, I was so disappointed with myself. When he said that, I was like, ooh, I peeked up. I know that name. I'm going to have to look it up later. I was like, oh, yeah, duh. It's from Fallen Order, which I love, and that mission in that game is really fun, the little arena fight.
Yeah, sure.
But always good to see, a canon deep cut. I know it's not a deep cut, but the Haxian Brood really hasn't been mentioned outside of there. Yeah.
I really like that the bounty was actually like a real bounty and it wasn't like something like silly or goofy. You know how sometimes some of the Star Wars animation is done. We're like, oh, we got to go get like the pigs or whatever. I think it was in Rebels.
Yeah.
Like this was
the
like
puffer
no, this
pigs.
was a, yes, this was like a real deal, real bounty, real like real stakes and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this is I want to say this is the first mention of the Haxian Brood outside of those games and
according to
the book.
Yes. That's,
yeah, so that's
cool. All that was listed there.
Don't they show up in War of the Bounty Hunters as well?
Oh,
no. They show up in issue 2 of War of the Bounty Hunters.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's... I didn't go and check that comic. Jacob and I are failing because we are supposed
yeah.
to...
I checked Wikipedia. That's the only reason
yeah.
why.
Is
it a mentioned only appearance?
I don't think
it did not say mentioned only.
Which is wow. the weird thing. So it might just be in like that wide shot of Kira's party or something.
Yeah.
Showing everyone. So they... They got a cursory mention at some point, I guess, and then here again. So let's see more Haxian Brood. They've got some cool bounty hunter designs in them.
Yeah, that was the issue where it's just like the Afrasana thing for the most part. So maybe there is also, oh God, what's the Black Sun was around a lot in that one. So I don't know. Maybe they worked their way in there somehow. So we got that, and they get to go to a little swamp planet. So no desert this time. And I thought this was like visually a very interesting thing. We like are on a little skiff heading out into the bayou. I saw a lot of people call this Space Florida.
I called it Space New Orleans.
Yeah,
I've seen both.
Yeah, it's people was like the Everglades. And
I think it's such a funny thing we do as fans that like we just put the word space in front of a real like everyone says that
Space California.
Bill Burr is from Space Boston, whatever his. Name in Mando is it's just like that's such a dumb easy way to call out a visual design.
Space wizards, you know, it works. But they're on this like little skiff that they run out, and it's a really interesting like visual design because behind they have like a little pole like you'd have like steering a boat like this, and there's just like a turbine engine off of like a pod racer or like a speeder bike on the back of the pole. And then the boat itself is a hydrofoil, so when you go fast, it like flies out of the water, which is super cool.
I didn't even notice that part.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like sort of a space fan boat, if you will, which was cool to see because we don't see a lot of boats in Star Wars.
I remember like when that like Mando season 2 episode came out, it felt like a big deal that there was a boat.
Yeah, I was racking my brain, and I kind of meant to do some research on this, but of course I didn't. Trying to think when we've seen boats, and I had Mando season 2, The Rise of Skywalker. They kind of take some little surfboard boat things out to the Death Star on Kefbir, and then I remember the second Aftermath book opens with a mission, and they're on a boat because I remember reading that book and being like, "Oh, neat, a boat." It's kind of like wheels in Star Wars. You just don't see it a lot because they've got hover tech.
Right,
like, has boats, but they fly.
Does the Colossus count as a boat, JG?
Ooh,
no.
Okay. It's a ship / base, not a boat.
A hot dog, a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's cereal soup.
It has two modes, but none of them involve it driving through water. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that was cool. And they eventually like arrive on this little like bayou spot. And they're going after a return. I had to look this up or someone posted on Twitter. The species is it's a prey mantis, but a space prey mantis, if you will. but it's called a Yamri, YAM'RII, and there's one in the cantina scene in episode 4, and that's like basically it for canon. They had some Legends appearances. They were in one of the Dark Nest books, but not all of them.
Even in Legends, just looking at the list here, they were in like maybe 5 total stories, and some of those were mentioned only, so like
it's
very rarely seen. This is the most due they've ever gotten, because even in the cantina scene, that's a background. I don't know if I've ever even noticed this thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many aliens in the back that, like, you watch it for, like, the 80th time. You're like, was that there the last time? I don't remember.
And so a special edition?
Surprisingly, this one doesn't have a name. Like, I feel like every other character in that scene has a name and a trading card and a short story somewhere. Yep. But that one doesn't. But now, I mean, maybe this is him.
Yeah. This is the dude from episode 4 that he got hauled off, and eventually 15 years later, he ends up in Mos Eisley.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, there are crazier things that happen in Star Wars.
Right.
I don't know, like Kitster ended up on a prison planet. You never know.
Oh, man. or Dengar in episode 9. Please don't Google it if you don't already know.
Hrothgar Dang, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, I think this was, I mean, naturally kind of the best part of the episode because it was the action. It was a really fun sequence. The whole fight scene was great of this Yamri versus Hunter, and then Wrecker joined, and then they needed all three of them to take him down.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely was, he was formidable. They had to like stun him like 5 times for him to go down at the end.
Yeah. Have we seen someone immune to stuns before?
I feel like there are characters that like have resisted 1 or 2. Yeah, that's about the extent of it.
20.
I mean, some of them missed. So it, but yeah. But yeah, that was cool. I also like, I think just like the whole process of getting to his little camp out was interesting. Like, we get to see people use their abilities again. Like, we're again seeing the space swamp gators and going through. There's a bunch of mines that Wrecker, who's the, they're like, hey, you're the explosives guy, so you have to defuse all these mines.
Which I never even considered the defensive side of the expert. I just thought he was good at blowing shit up.
Yeah, he's like makes things go boom.
Right, but he also makes boom not go boom if he needs to.
Yeah, very important. I wonder if that'll come back later in the season. He has to make something not go boom. You never know. Check off mine.
One of the space gators are cousins to the ice skaters.
Ice skaters from Mission Disaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a fun little sequence. Anything, like any other kind of thoughts on, I guess, the bounty side of things?
Not really. I mean, it was a very straightforward kind of side quest. Mm-hmm. I know that we've talked about the word several times throughout the season.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Swear word.
We don't say the F word on this show. But yeah, if there's been an episode you can call filler, it's this one. That's not a bad thing. I think this episode was still a fun watch. Keep in mind, it is a show for kids, and sometimes an adventure that lasts 22 minutes is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But the adventure was pretty straightforward. They go, they defuse the bombs, they fight the alligator, they get the bounty, and then they go off. And that's cool. I had fun watching it, but there's not a lot of meat there.
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier in Slack today, it's like, this is probably my least favorite episode of the season, but like, it's not bad. So I'm fine with that being like the floor of quality for this year.
Yeah. I mean, we've had 7 absolute bangers. I'm not going to get upset about a decent episode.
Agreed. Like, and at the very least, like, we at least progress story. And then on the other side of the story, which we haven't talked about yet, we at least progress character. So, like, it wasn't just, like, an episode that, like, our characters in the story started in the same place and ended in the same place. Like, definitely, like, this maybe is an episode that some people might skip on a rewatch. But at the very least, it moved forward.
It moved a little forward. We got the little tidbit at the end, which we haven't talked about. But you're right. I think we should go back to Pabu, where I thought this was the more interesting part of the episode. But it was such a small, small part of it, unfortunately.
But yeah, we're working on like Crosshair and Omega basically to stay home from school today. And before they leave, Hunter tells Omega to like see if Crosshair can get his tremors looked at. So he starts off getting a physical from AZ-1, and they're like, well, I can't tell anything that's wrong. Maybe it's all in your head, buddy. Then we kind of, I guess, go on an adventure from there. We start with some Wookiee meditation that was taught to Omega by Gunji, my love, my little Wookiee boy.
Bless up, which I hadn't really thought much about since that episode that like, oh yeah, he's still out there. And I hate that this is like what my brain does, but I'm like, ooh, that's got a lot of implications for canon.
He's joining Rey's new Jedi Order in like 80 years.
Hey, yeah, Eunice needs another job after the Acolyte's done. I love that got a name drop, and also just that like it shows, you can see so much growth in Omega that like she's building on all these different experiences she's had with these little one-off characters. Like that was a one single episode, maybe even one you could call filler, even though it was hype as hell.
Yeah, it was hype.
But she's like,
because of that, I know how to reach my inner calm. I meditate now. She had that dope little like hippie outfit. She's not in her bad
form.
She had this like woven vest and her little ponytail and some hemp necklaces and stuff, just reaching full zen, teaching Crosshair how to be one with the earth. I loved it.
Yeah, my so grown and mature in this episode.
Mm-hmm. My wife was saying that she like loved the vest. She's like, you know, I can make one of those. I'm like, I bet you could.
All right.
And I was like, let's see.
Player, get ready.
Yeah.
I will say that the total tangent at Celebration 22 at the Bad Batch panel, seeing a young girl cosplay as Omega was my favorite part of the entire weekend, mm-hmm. maybe, because she was so stoked to be in front of a crowd on a yep. stage dressed as Omega. So yeah. Everyone, if you want to dress up as your favorite characters, it'll even excite nearing middle-aged white guys. I'm not quite middle-aged, but I'm getting old, and that was just really cool to see. Yeah. Anyway, enough dad stuff.
Yeah, my favorite are like the little Leia from Obi-Wan cosplays.
Oh, my God. Yes.
That didn't exist yet when we were at Celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
But I bet that's really popular now.
So, and then in addition to this Wookiee meditation, he also gets to spend some quality time with the therapy dog, Batcher. So, you know, it's all, you know, it's slowly, hopefully, melting Crosshair's heart.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said every week, Crosshair has become the heart of this show, oddly enough. My favorite moment between the two of them was Omega's like, I've got a suggestion, whatever. And he goes, I'm not going to like it, am I? She says, you never like anything. And he kind of like chuckles about it because she gets him. Yeah. And they're bonding, you know, you love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, like, if this all has been tied back to, you know, again, just like what experimentation that they did on him or whatever failed, like shadow clone training that they tried to instill in him that led to this point. I'm sure this is going to come out in a future episode where we're going to see exactly why. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious where this is all leading to.
I think they're really setting him up to have like this iconic moment where he's like the music's going to swell and everything, and he's going to go to take the shot, he's going to miss or whatever, and then he's going to go to do it again and then actually like make it for like the first time in a hot second.
That's better than my thought. Mine is pessimistic in that it's going to be like the rom-com like second act miscommunication trope where they're like they're going to find out that he did do some bad stuff during his training and then get mad at him, and I'm going to be upset.
Don't they know that he did bad stuff?
Like, yeah, but I don't know. Maybe he like assassinated one of their friends or something. Who knows?
Yeah. It would be cool to get like a Crosshair flashback episode where he's just sort of like reliving these memories. I don't think that'll happen. One, because it would take up a fair amount of space and also probably be a little dark. But yeah, I would love to see what he's up to. I also liked how he was like jealous about all these adventures he missed out on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like who's Finnick?
Yeah, we didn't even mention that Fee showed back up, but. He's like, they're like, oh, we're getting a call from Fee. And he goes, who? And they're like, let's go see Finnick. He says, who? Omega talking about Gungi. He's like, you've been to Kashyyyk? Like, what did I miss? He's got serious FOMO about his family.
Yeah. Well, it's like the funny part was like with Fee. He's like, who's Fee? And Omega's like a purveyor of like ancient artifacts or something like that. And he like looks at her. She's like, pirate.
Yeah. Which I think. That's sort of back to the Gungi thing. Things she's picking up, because I think that's like how Fee refers to herself, is like, mm-hmm. I get ancient treasures or whatever, because she doesn't call herself a pirate unless she's proud of it. But I also like that Fee is still missing Tech, because she gives him a little miss. She's like, Tech was the brains of the operation.
Yeah, her boyfriend, RIP.
Or is he RIP?
No.
No, we did that last or did you go? I can't remember. Yeah, I think you said that last week.
Last week and 2 weeks ago and every episode.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, are we taking the Is Tech Alive meter check? I don't think it's changed.
It did not adjust. If anything, it actually went, it fell down a little.
It fell down a little.
Just because it wasn't in the front of my mind this week. That's but fair. The next time a CX droid shows up, it's like, just going to like mm-hmm. Tech back, baby.
Speaking of Fee, I really like the line, Omega's wit is really on point, where she says she's a liberator of ancient artifacts. Mm-hmm. She's a pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Omega's getting clever.
For sure. Any other kind of thoughts on this episode, or
just sort of aesthetic thing? I don't know if we know where it was or if we'll find out at the data bank tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be in the episode guide before this episode is posted.
Yeah, to
the
I can podcast. Tell you already know what I'm going to say. That space station was really cool. Yes. It was giving me like the Rings of Kephreen.
Yep,
type thing. That was great. We get a cool CD Andor style bar. I know that Andor did not invent neon and darkly lit bars, but if I can mention it, JG, you already got your Resistance mention, so I'm going with it.
Yeah. That's
fine. I enjoyed their little recruiting conversation with Finnick, where that other guy, I don't know if it was a Rodian or what, was trying to pay her for a job. And she's like, nah, get out of here. These guys, they beat you.
Yeah. Good stuff. But
I guess then we got to talk about the ending, right?
Well, first things first, this episode again is brought to you by the Utini Dispatch. I'll try not to butcher this read as much as I did the previous one. It is a weekly email newsletter brought to you by our Bounty Hunt very own JG and another writer on our team, Emmy. They go through and curate the best, coolest news for you. It's a pretty brief read. I read the first one this week. It talked about a really cool interest I have personally right now, which is Star Wars Unlimited, which is a new card game. If you want to learn more about that game, you can, of course, check out the this week's newsletter. But you can also check out the Discord, where our community has been talking about that game quite a bit in the Star Wars gaming channel. It's basically that gaming channel, which is also made for video games, is entirely this card game right now because a lot of us are talking about it so much. So, yeah, if you want to check out that, I know they talked about Formula One recently. It's kind of a variety of interests. So you're hopefully, you know, even if you're only a Star Wars guy or if you're only like into like one or two things that are different, every newsletter should probably have at least one to two stories that's going to interest you. So it's a variety. It's a quick read. It's only once a week. It's not going to blow up your inbox. So if you want to get some of that content, I would check out utini.com/dispatch. And, you know, if there's something you want to see covered more in detail, I'm just going to throw him under the bus and say, go like yell at JG in Discord or something like that. I'm sure he'll be happy to include it in the next week's edition. So yeah, just again, check out utini.com/dispatch for our weekly newsletter. All right, as you brought it up, we do have to talk about the end of this episode, which we have been avoiding for so long. At the very end, Finnick goes off to turn in her bounty, and she'll be like, oh, I'm going to get back to you. You have an IOU from me. And she calls another bounty hunter who's been doing these imp count bounties to kind of let them in on the scoop. So who is that person?
I mean, where do we start with the list? Right before...
Is it Amara Vex or...
Yeah, there's our Hunter's reference for the week. Right before we started the episode, I went back and watched just to get exactly the line to see if I could find any clues. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read the line, but I could not get any clues. What she says, I just finished a job with some clones. They were here. They were asking about the Empire's M-Count bounties. What can you tell me? Then he or she responds back jumbled gibberish. I'm sure you can track them down easily enough. I'll send you what I have. So that doesn't tell us much other than, you're right, I think that they've got experience with the M-Count bounties.
Mm-hmm. I
also kind of feel like they've got some experience with some clones, because otherwise, why did she need to mention that detail?
Yeah.
Which, so my first guess is Boba Fett.
That's, yeah. I mean, I think...
go ahead.
I was like, I think everyone's first instinct is Asajj, but I'm also interested in it being Boba Fett.
So, JG, I'll let you make the case for Asajj, but the reason I think Boba Fett is, one, the meta reason. Boba Fett's cool. This is a show about clones. It makes sense for him to show up. In-universe reason, we know that obviously 30 years from now, they work together in Mando 2 and Book of Boba Fett. I briefly went to watch one of those episodes today to see if they gave any hint at their prior relationship. The one I watched did not. I don't know if the Mod Squad episode of Boba does, but I don't think we know whether or not they know each other beyond, I think they maybe had an interaction at some, anyway, I don't know if they were ever allies, but it just makes sense for them. They're both bounty hunters active in this time, and he would have an interest in hearing about these clones because he is one, and that's not really a secret. But to your next point, Asajj, I see the logic there, but let's see what you're thinking.
Yeah, so I'm between two, but I'll go with the Ventress first. I think, I don't know, there might be even some, I think the obvious thing is that it's Ventress, because we've all been wondering where's Ventress. But also it could bring up some questions, because like, why would Ventress be going after the M-Count bounties? My only thought is that potentially if she is looking for her boo thing, she's out there looking for Quinlan, hoping to eventually find him as one of these M-Count bounties. And then that would lead us into their meeting and such.
My question there is, though, like, I could get wanting the inside information, but that still would require working with the Empire, which I feel like she wouldn't. I mean, I guess she could be doing it as not herself. She was an undercover bounty hunter in Clone Wars Season 6, right? So maybe she did. They don't know who she is. Bounty hunter for masks.
I also threw out the idea in addition with that to like kind of counter that point is that she's also not like fulfilling these bounties. She's more like finding these bounties and then like helping them escape. Like a pre-early like path example.
So it's like Cal Kestis wanting to get that holocron or whatever to keep it out of the Empire's
hands. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I like that. And a similar thing, maybe this is your other person there. It could be Voss. Alternatively, like doing no, you're just straight up, it's not Voss.
I mean, he is his like entire species are cops, so like there is that.
Are they really? I mean,
yeah, in Legends, like his like there's like two planets, and one of them is like the cop planet. So,
oh,
I
have so many questions about how their economy functions.
Yeah, they run a prison planet, so you know, that's the other one, okay. But. I'm curious, like, the thing with for me with Ventress is, like, we all acknowledge, and the show has acknowledged, that they have to explain how and why she's here. I, like, does it make sense for them to, like, just drop her in cold and then explain that later? Or, like, are we going to have go on an adventure to bring her back is my thing. Because if it's her, we're just dropping her in cold.
I think she's going to show up. And then we'll find out whether or not that's stretched over two episodes or something. I don't think that they're going to be like out on a mission and they've got to like bring Ventress. I think she's out there active doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's working for the Empire.
Yeah.
My main theory, the one that I really think that would make the most sense just because of what we've seen, is that it's Cad Bane.
Interesting. Well, he did show up in prior seasons and also tried to kidnap Omega and had a relationship with Fennec, a working relationship, that is.
But maybe
he's in the trailer. Guess what?
Yeah. Was he in the trailer? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I have not rewatched the trailer.
Yeah, I might be like reimagining things, no, but I'm 90% sure he was in the trailer.
You mentioned that before. I could see that. That could also then bring Boba into it, because we know they have some kind of student/hate relationship. Cad Bane works. We could really just like list bounty hunters, which I don't think beyond Boba and Cad Bane anyone makes, like Bosk or Zuckuss, there's no way, or Dengar. I guess Dengar was in the Clone Wars, so I don't know. I went on a walk with my son, full-on Crates Claw reunion. Yeah, just Crates Claw. I talked through the possibilities. By the way, my son is 2 years old, so I was just talking. He was in his stroller, and I was like, "Here's who I think it could be." And I was kind of like struggling to come up with options that I even liked.
Working through this like right now, I also could see it being either Boba or Cad, and then that is actually what leads us to Ventress, because maybe Ventress is one of these M-Count bounties.
That'd be interesting.
Oh, I like that. I didn't even really think. Yeah, because obviously.
Cause she's the subject of one of them.
Because in the trailer, because it might not even be the fact that they know it's Ventress. They just know that there's this M-Count individual. And then we know in the trailer, it very much looks very intentionally like that it is shot and cut. Very like she is like about to attack or defend against the bounty or about against the Bad Batch. But we know that they do a lot of trickery. So I could see that happening.
Interesting.
My other thought was that like, it's obviously someone who knows what an M-Count is,
which
it seems is not common knowledge, and like not even just uncommon, like difficult to find. Now, that could just be a bounty hunter who has done these and found out. what M count is, or it could be someone who's familiar with Jedi, which could be Boba Fett. He worked with and against the Jedi, not that he studied him much, but that also then brings Asajj back into it, because she obviously knows about midichlorians.
Right. Yeah, this will be interesting. I mean, like, we're probably gonna, like, we're gonna be clowning for, like, all these different people could be, and it's gonna be like the most obvious character.
It's gonna be Sid.
It's gonna be Sid. Sitter and Scaleback.
Sitter, Scaleback, yeah.
I think, though, unlike Merrick and hopefully CX Trooper, I think this one has to be someone we know. Otherwise, this scene is unnecessary. Right. They just really wanted to give us a big red herring. Now, whether it's a big bomb drop like Asajj or someone, or it's just, I don't know, Cad Bane, it's got to be somebody that we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We do have a community question to hit up real quick from the Discord. This is from our buddy Lando in there. They're asking, again, along the lines of this M count situation, why are they using bounty hunters to go after these individuals rather than inquisitors? Is that kind of like their job? And along those lines, why are they seemingly maybe going for these M count bounties? I don't know exactly how much we know, but they're not seemingly going for Jedi for this project, but rather just like other random people. So, like, could they be experimenting on Jedi? Like, what do we, I guess, like, broadly, what do we think about this project?
I think they're like two separate operations, two different purposes. Like, I think that the Inquisitors, their job is to track down the Jedi threats that are to the Empire, the ones that are going to, like, be the spark to the rebellion, the ones that are going to be the thorn in their sides, and the ones that need to be, like, extinguished. That doesn't mean that maybe one or two of them might be useful for their more nefarious deeds. But I think that these M counts are for the whole, you know, necromancer and everything involved mm-hmm. with that specifically.
Yeah, I mean, we know that the Inquisitors were active basically right after
'66.
Like, immediately they started tracking down Eeth Koth, Kirik Enfala, obviously. But they, yeah, you're right. They pretty much just hunt actual Jedi. Now, the Empire does want that list of Force-sensitive kids and other things. But I think that they're just looking for test subjects, and bringing in a Jedi to be in their prison would be pretty dangerous, because even if even clones can get out, like, a Jedi is not safe to keep around. They just want some M counts to experiment on.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to get a Jedi when you can just, like, find, like, the next broom boy and just, like, throw him in a lab. So,
not Tamiri.
Risk to reward is a little off. I do kind of, like, it's making me think, though, about Oz mentioned Eeth Koth's baby in Darth Vader, but also that Rebels like episode where, like, the third sister and fifth brother are going after, like, children for the Emperor. So, like, I do think, yeah, you know, maybe we see some ties eventually to that with the Emperor's interest in force sensitive individuals. Obviously, we know the objective what they're getting them for this time, but, like, it's a kind of a continuing theme throughout the reign of the Empire.
Yeah, in fact, you even have the Grand Inquisitor going after people like Dara Leonis and Jai Kell in the Servants of the Empire.
Oh,
so I'm even gonna let you mention Rebels and not bring that up. It's actually relevant for once. So I had considered this. I don't think it'll happen. It's possible to get an Inquisitor cameo in this because they are similar goals. Now, I think they are two different sides of the same coin, so it would kind of muddy things up to bring them into the plot.
But if we get Asajj and then Asajj brings in Quinlan, then Quinlan's a Jedi, then we have to get an Inquisitor. So,
and then which design do they use for the Grand Inquisitor and the fifth brother?
Well, actually, no, yeah, which sixth brother design? That's way more of important.
Oh, man, don't even bring in the sixth brother. For those who don't know, that's the one from the Ahsoka novel / Tales of the Jedi. Maybe they're two different ones.
/ maybe a comic. I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? I don't think we'll see Inquisitors, but that's a good question, Lando. I hadn't even considered that, really. I had sort of forgotten about the Inquisitors until this conversation.
Yeah.
Bringing up the Rebels episode, I mean, reminded me of even, like, back to Cad Bane. Another good point for Cad Bane is that he has the experience in Clone Wars after he went after the children himself and the Holocron and all of this stuff. Like, he is probably the expert on this for the Empire right now.
Yeah, those are good episodes. But yeah, that's a really good... All right, I'm leaning Cad Bane now, I think. I mean, I think I'm still leaning Boba, but I'm more... You're starting to sell me.
There you go. Yeah. Well, any other, I guess, final... We talked, obviously, about the identity of who's on the other line, end of the line. Any other predictions for what we're doing next week? We got episode 9 called The Harbinger. I'm going to take a wild guess and say it's not the Harbinger, the super or the Star Destroyer from the 2015 Star Wars comics.
Where does Harbinger for the...
Whatever.
but no, if it was... that would be shocking. I don't know, which it is a word I only see used in fiction and never said out loud, so I did look it up, and it's a person or thing that announces or signals the approach of another. I know it's a common enough word, but I always kind of forget exactly what it means. Could it be Asajj? She's the Harbinger. I don't know. I don't think that we're getting her next week. Do you always think we're getting her next week? Do you think we're getting her?
No, I'm done.
Not this time.
Yeah, I'm done. I think there could be a tease for her, because I think it would make sense with not next week, but the week following being a 2-week episode. I feel like that would have some way to have some Ventress show up then. So maybe at the very end of the Harbinger episode, we get like a good tease or something, another good tease. Like, this is all Cad Bane, and then that leads us into Ventress.
Yeah.
For you to call that.
Yeah, it's like, who is the Harbinger, and what are they harbinging, is the question.
The clones.
I think maybe what they're harbinging is Asajj. I could see that.
Yeah. It's Quinlan. We're tracking a M-Count bounty that is Quinlan, and she comes to save the day back from the dead.
I'm so game for that. because that could also then tie into... the Obi-Wan show where let's do it. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Cool. Any other?
My one other thought on my walk I was talking about earlier, I did get a little clowny, and I was like, what could be the clowniest prediction for this person? And someone who has experience with clones, experience with Jedi, and experience with Inquisitors, we already mentioned her once, Ahsoka Tano, she was the mysterious contact in Rebels too, so maybe they're doing that again. She's Fulcrum, but working as a bounty hunter. She's going to show up, and that's going to lead us to Ventress, and I'm 100% confident on that.
I did bring it up a few weeks ago. I don't know yet.
I hope they don't bring her into this, but I don't think it would be here.
I don't think so either. I don't like it. It has to be through Rex, because it doesn't make sense otherwise.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah, that she's working with the Empire.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, hey, maybe she's deep undercover. I don't know if she's left that farm yet, but she's deep undercover for Bail Organa somehow already. Again, just being on the other side of the bounties to free people.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I don't know. Whatever. We'll figure it out. It'll be something that makes way more sense than what we're saying when it actually drops next week, I'm sure.
I do hope that it's resolved sooner than later. Like, I'm curious to know who it is. I don't want this to be a long mystery. Like, we've got enough handful of mysteries. I kind of hope they do next week's mission, whatever, and then maybe Finnick harbinges back this information, and then we just move on. Like, let's get it over with.
We got to start setting up the finale. You know, we're under halfway through now. Or left.
Holy. Yeah. And we got it. Yeah. Next week is a single episode, but then after that, we got a double. So we're making progress. Yeah. We're getting towards the end there. Just in time for Acolyte. So again, if you haven't checked out our special yesterday, go ahead and check that out. We have an hour 15 of rambling about what people could be alive in the Acolyte and what toys that might exist, which already have been announced today, which is crazy. RIP Andor fans who had to wait forever to get any toys for that show. Check out that. We'll again be talking about all of the Acolyte when that airs in June. Any other final thoughts about this episode before we hit it? Mm-hmm. Well, one final thank you to UT Dispatch for bringing us this show. If you, again, want to subscribe to that newsletter, head on over to utini.com/dispatch. But that'll do it for this week's episode of The Bounty Hunt. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're looking for other great podcasts about Star Wars, nerd culture, and sports, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the UTini Podcast Network. We'd also appreciate it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. If you're already a member of the United on Patreon, thank you so much. Next, our extra special thank you goes out to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raymond Bazinski on our High Council, and Captains James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, Chris Caruso, and Sally and Chris Eilerson for all their amazing support. You can head on over to Discord. We're continuing the conversation about this week's episode of The Bad Batch in SW The Bad Batch, the channel. Huge shout out to our editor, Kyle, for all of his excellent work in getting us to your feed so quickly, and Wes for all of his UTini network support. Thanks, as always, to our fantastic listeners. We really appreciate all the support. That's it for us this week. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Bounty Hunt Podcast.
Yeah? Good.
To learn more about other UTini Patreon exclusives, visit utini.com.